Good morning, good afternoon. Here we are for another talk show, for another collaboration with ABC Conclave. Let's talk all about crypto. And today, I'm really have the pleasure to host many of the leaders that will be joining me, So today's topic is crypto's Trump new weapon and world future currencies. We know what happens in the States actually dominates the whole market. Let me introduce myself. My name is Rudy Shushani. I am an award-winning founder of Crypto Talks and DX Talks, the digital leaders platform. I'll be hosting this session and moderating it. And today, actually really happy to host the leaders in this space. This is part of ABC Conclave 2024, brought to you by DX Talks, all about connecting ABC Web3. It's the world's largest Web3 conclave, set to be the prestigious conference set to make second waves in Dubai and Bangkok this year. Actually, less than 10 days, we're joined, or 11 days, we're joined in the first session on 11 and 12th of October in Dubai and 7 and 8th of November in Bangkok. This extraordinary event combines gaming, esports tournament, FOMO lounge, transformative networking opportunities, blockchain, hackathons. It dives into immersive journey featuring insightful Web3 conference and a lot more. To know more about this event, make sure to visit abcconclave.com, which I will put it down in the link and on the screen. Without further ado, this talk show is a pre-event activity part of ABC Conclave. And today we're really happy that we are excited in this pivotal role in the panel that we will be hosting. Let me start introducing my panelists. I will start with alphabetically, let's call them, with the first guest, starting with me, joining Ali Askar. Ali is a phenomenal Web3, I would say, expert in this space, has been there for a long time. He will introduce himself. He's head of quantitative and algorithmic trading at OTS Capital UAE. Second, I have Kevin. Kevin, welcome on board. If you don't mind switching your screen one more time. Kevin is, here we go. Kevin is another seasonal expert and, you know, has been there for a while. He's a COO of Gima Group, USA. And we have Sheikh Mohammed. Sheikh Mohammed Noman. He's the founder of Pegasus Capital Investment, UAE. We have another guest, but due to unfortunate event, we were not able to have him. So we will proceed as we move forward. So welcome on board. I'm really happy you guys joined. Today is all about crypto. Today it's about what's happening in the States. I'm going to start with Ali, and I'll give Kevin a couple of seconds just to maybe fix his camera so we can get a better view more of a landscape one, so that we can really use it later on for our that's it. Perfect.
I'm trying to, these are the foremost technologically savvy people on today's call, and if we can't get anything done, all I gotta do is just blame technology. I'm trying. It keeps flipping on me.
Sometimes technology doesn't work, but what can we do? Here we are. So I'm gonna start with the first question. I think the first question I wanted to be, for all, so that way we can maybe start sharing this. I'll start with you, Ali, and then make a round. How could the widespread of crypto adoption and cryptocurrencies, maybe as a global currency, impact the current international financial system, particularly in terms of trade, cross-border transaction, and global stability? We know that everything is changing as we speak, and the world is in a big change or transformation, if I want to say, in the world of cryptocurrencies, and then, developing solutions day to day. How do you think this widespread adoption is really impacting the international financial system?
Well, first, thank you for hosting me. To be honest, this question is really big. When we say that we are looking into cryptocurrency as something that's as a globally adopted currency or something that's globally adopted as a form of money, that's a big question. That's a big question to answer. Why? Because if you think about it, like the whole ecosystem of fiat money was built into power the military, the way that we deal with each other, the economics, the philosophy, the educational system, the medical system, everything was built based upon the currencies that we deal with, or the fiat currencies that we deal with. So for me, I think that moving into something that's more of a crypto money or for a form of, it could be a Bitcoin or it could be something else, we're talking about something that leads to like a massive change. And we know it from history that massive changes means wars and blood. Now, if we simplify it with the happy land or the happy life, I think like the simplified version, then yes, it's supposed that we don't go for a massive change or we don't go for some sort of a huge ground shaking event to change the whole ecosystem. Then we're looking at something that makes, in a way or another, the trade much more simpler. Because if you think about it, like years ago when we started trading, we were holding the bags of gold coins, transferring them, putting them transferring them to another location to be able to buy some asset in order to move it to our home country and resell it and so forth. But once we moved to the internet world or to the connected world, we started using the wire transfers, the banks, blah, blah, blah. Now, when we say we're moving into something much more faster and does not rely on the centralized model of the current world, then we're talking about something that would simplify the way we trade. Now, philosophically, that's an open question that has no answers, at least till now.
Yeah, thanks, Ali. Kevin, what's your take on this?
You know, it's interesting. Ali brought up a very important point that we tend to forget about. Everything up until this point has been based off of two things, pre-fiat and fiat. But because of the globalization of the world and how fast everything's changed, our generation, everybody on this call, is used to just fiat. We don't remember the barter system of, you know, chickens and eggs and gold and all of the old school stuff that medieval times till now really survived on, which was arguably between, you know, 600 to 2000 years, just arguably, depending on where we see currency and trade and barter system come into place. And then in the last, really, you know, post-World War II, of course, we had fiat pre-World War II, but in the post-World War II era, we've had now credit. So fiat alone, but credit system has now come on. And the credit system is obviously just in its infancy, if we want to look at the timeline or the history of the world. And all of a sudden, in 2008-09, we had the financial crisis. The world was supposed to end financially. It was a cataclysm of multiple events, of course, starting in the United States, and it was a global credit crisis. And now we've seen that same thing happen a few times over in Europe and China, and there's credit crises that keep happening because this thesis of post-World War II fiat into credit is a very unique yet young system. And we still have a lot of third world countries that have not fully adopted a full credit system, which is wild, right? We're in 2024, the world's moving so quick, and yet a lot of people are still stuck in the old school fiat system. And yet now we have crypto. Post 2008 financial crash, we were birthed out of that into cryptocurrency. And the thesis of it was supposed to be even more global, even more unique, even more anonymous, decentralized. And yet we still have a lot of problems in credit and fiat systems. We see what inflation does to fiat. We see what credit does to developing nations if they're not able to utilize it correctly. We've seen what it can do to nations that do utilize it correctly. And yet still there's problems in China, in the real estate markets of really all over the world, in defaulting countries of Europe. And we're supposed to be happy about this. We're supposed to be really excited about the future of money. I would argue that it's never been more scary and it never been more unstable. And I do believe that even governments are playing catch up. So this new cryptocurrency buzzword / new financial system that's really taken off in the West more is unique, and it's even more infantile than its other predecessor dollar credit systems. And so what do we do, right? Is it too big to fail? Is it too young to survive? Is it too early to guess? And it's really all of those, and a culmination of, if we believe the future is digital, if we believe even credit and fiat clearly has been digital over the last 30 some years, and that the gold-backed side of things, the asset-backed side of things, has gone away after really 1971, the gold standard being removed, then what does the future look like in full digital form? When we look at the M2 supply of the money, M supply of the money, there's not that much dollars. There's not that much euro, real, dirham, whatever in the entire world. It's just a number on a screen with multiple zeros digitally placed. So how far really removed are we from a full digital system? Obviously, we can look at China. They're not even using crypto, but it's an entirely full digital system based on a few applications, WeChat, credit scores, loans are given based off of that. Money is being transferred based off of that. Remittance is no longer an issue. It's instant, it's fast, it's transactable, it's purchasable. So if we're going to move full digital completely out of this realm of fiat and credit, it's going to look like something that we're being given right now in cryptocurrencies. Now, there's a lot to do. There's a lot to build, and I'm sure we'll get into that. But it's exciting time to be alive. Why wouldn't you want to be part of this money revolution? Because for the first time, it just might be in your hands. Rather, it's never been.
Yeah, I like the point of view where you came from and how the change is really happening. I love it. So let me move to Sheikh. Sheikh, what's your take on this, and how do you see it, you know, happening? If you don't mind moving back a little bit also for
Actually, well said to one of my colleagues that it's a world game, politically involved. So anybody who wants to get involved in the crypto assets and cryptocurrency, they need to bring in the regulations, particularly US, China, Russia. It's a big gamers. So just to default the US dollar, I mean, I believe that's been built up the BRICS. So BRICS is going to perform another role against the US dollar. And the BRICS can launch themselves as well, particularly in a cryptocurrency or digital assets, let's say, in a digital currency, which can help the world to do the trade parallel to the US dollar in the digital currency. And countries like China, Russia, US, they are going to work on it particularly. Therefore, the new countries are being added, like Egypt, Emirates, Saudi Arabia. All countries are interested to working with this to go against the US dollar trade. And adoption is pretty easy. It's just something that some regulators need to sit together, decide, and make it easier for the world, because the fiat system has been there more than 100 years. So this system against the fiat and having a more uncontrolled body, which is more freedom for the people who want to use it. And anybody who wants to use it, they need to lose their power. And it's all power game. And the countries, like big players, they don't want to lose the power. If the cryptocurrency getting adopted, they can do it in terms of IP, intellectual property, which is protected and game by the digital assets. Any country wants to develop themselves with a cryptocurrency, rather than going to the cryptocurrency, they can go for IP, intellectual property shares, and launch it as the IP shares, parallel to the token or crypto, anything like that. So these are my take on that.
Yeah, thank you. It's very interesting, you know, to discuss global cryptocurrencies and what's happening in the world. I'm really interested to know, what's the role do you think cryptocurrency could play in shaping the US policies and economic policies in specific under potential Trump administration? And this is the topic of our discussion and moving from there. Kevin and then Ali, and go back to Sheikh.
Yeah, look, if we want to get really specific, there's two parties at play right now. Let's see if technology doesn't want to play with me again. There we go.
There we go.
I was joking. I don't know if anybody heard at the beginning of this call that we have some of the most technologically savvy people on the call, and yet tech doesn't want to play with me and you, and it is funny. But if we're going to talk about policy, if we're going to talk about it, you got to look at November 5th coming up. Yes, I'm the American on the call, and that doesn't mean much, but it is a big, big thing for us in America. I left America to do a lot of business in the East, and specifically Dubai. I've been here since 2017 because of the policies that were not being implemented. In 2017, Sheikh Mohammed and Sheikh Hamdan in Dubai had Initiative 2020, and quickly after, many other initiatives, which they keep hitting. And it's so encouraging for us in the West to look at and build on. So we only moved out here, with all due respect, because our own country couldn't figure it out, right? And this was post financial crash, which we thought everything was figured out. But if you want to be honest, it's a lot lying on November 5th. And forget about price action. I'm never the guy that's going to give you a price prediction or price action type of model. But if we want to look at policy, one of the parties is at the table. One of the parties is speaking about it. The other party is not speaking about it. And they're really semi against it if you look at the tax policies that the Democrats are putting forward. Trump is the only one actually speaking about it, right? He's interacting with it. He's engaging with the communities. He's quite literally transacting it the other day at a bar in New York, buying everybody a beer with Bitcoin because of the payment transaction that was owned by the owner of the bar. They even dropped their own DeFi platform. Now, I'm not a big fan of it. I don't think anybody could be if you're a hardcore, you know, blockchainer like I am. I've been in this industry since 2012. I've given my life to this industry over the last decade plus. And so we're not happy about this DeFi kind of thing. It seems like a gimmick. It is what it is, but at least they're having the conversation. At least they're having the developers talk, build, transact. So you got to believe that one is better than zero. And if you want to believe that the future of the whole world is in the financial system of the West, it at least starts there. I'm not saying it's everything, especially after 2008, a lot has changed, but still the dollar is transacted 100 times more than any currency in the Middle East. And 10 times more than even some of the biggest currencies in Europe, such as the Swiss franc is even used more than most of the BRIC country nations. And the Swiss franc is really only for financial stability and financial institutions in the ultra wealthy communities, which we know very well of Switzerland. So BRIC is a great idea. It's a great thesis. But can it do a flippening, as we say in crypto, to the dollar? If you know anything about economics, it's not going to happen in the next two, maybe three decades. These things are very sensitive. You don't just shift them overnight. You don't want them to shift overnight. And so when we're talking about policy and what the world is looking at, I love what the UAE is doing. I love what Singapore and the East is doing. And America doesn't do anything because we live on a if it ain't broke, don't fix it model. So right now, the American financial institutions, the institutional players, the stock market has never been more healthy. It's never had more money in it. Even London, there's more money on the sidelines in London. Look at the IPOs coming, right? So the West still is very cash strapped and they're more healthy than they ever been. The banks have more money than ever before. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it model can continue for another three presidents upcoming. And just for the sake of the topic, I'll say, because his name is in there, Trump is again, the only one having this conversation. Whatever we care about the guy, or his policies or anything, if we want to stick to this topic, it's the only one that gives the world a shot at the biggest player at the table to create some type of regulation or regulatory framework, licensing or any other, to be able to compete with the other markets and to take care of the largest retail market in the world. And if we could just shake the tree like BlackRock has done, 1 to 5%, not even a 10% penetration, the entire ecosystem of crypto, the entire system of something like DeFi can take hold, because DeFi and yielding tokens are seen as securities. Now, securities are a beautiful product when you're talking about financial markets. They're not a beautiful product when you're being accused of using and profiting from securities as an illegal product. So if we can get these two sides of the table to get some type of framework, who's going to win? The middle of these two sides of the table. And that's where the next 100 million, 200 million adopters and first time purchasers of crypto in any sense can come in. So I'll leave it to you guys to see who you want to vote for or who you want to win, because one is at least having the conversation.
Kevin, just before I jump to Ali, I just want to, because I'm sure you're following the American elections. Kamala, only the last 5 days or 4 days, she started talking about crypto. So is that she's trying to save her ass, as we say, or it's a new tactic, or she figured out, well, I need Trump's, you know, new guys or the new kids on the block to join me, or I'm out. What's your take on this before I move
That part? Look, it actually, like a few months ago, when Trump first started getting really high rhetoric on crypto, she invited some of the largest institutional players, the Coinbases, the Kraken, some people around the world that have exposure to America. And she got them to the table. And some of those executives, it's very popular, you can search it online, they rejected her. They said, we don't want to have this conversation with either parts of the party, right? They're not interested in that. But Trump doesn't go out and seek them. They come and seek him, because obviously you've seen the donations rolling and things like that. I would argue it's too little too late, and that her user base is not a crypto user base. Her user base of extra votes isn't going to come from those crypto users or crypto friendly people. That base is my mom's age, right? That base is a middle America. Most of the blue states are either far west, far east, and very little middle America. She's not attacking that type of base that Trump is. Really, the Republican states are. So it's too little too late to try to get the votes of the younger voter that is excited about fintech. And yet she wants to use it as rhetoric to do so. So again, I don't love either policy. I don't love either party. I'm just happy that one is having a conversation and one is chasing the dragon, right? Kamala and her team is chasing the dragon, and it could work for a small user base. But to be honest, it's so damn close this time that little chase, that little couple votes, because of the Electoral College, she could still lose by 10 million votes and win. And same with Trump. He could win by 15 million votes and still lose. And it's crazy. This is why the system is broken in the Electoral College. Exactly. So they're getting every little vote they can take. I just think it's too little too late.
Yeah. This is when you learn about the Electoral vote, and you know, and then you discover what the hell you're taking out 10-15 million people's vote for, because that state has a better weight. Is it that do those people in that state makes more sense than the other states, or just it's really weird. I know it's American politics, but who are we to judge, right? Ali, what's your take on this? Well, business talks, yeah, sponsors actually talk. Sponsors. Yeah,
I'd say to Kevin, come to Lebanon and check our voting system. It will be much more fun.
I'm not sure about that also, but here we go. What's your take on the Trump?
To be honest, if we take Trump's previous administration and the Republicans in general, they favor more of a deregulation, in fact. His administration was known for its deregulatory stance across variable industries. They were focusing a lot on reducing government oversight to encourage business growth and innovation. I think this approach can extend to the crypto sector. Like, for example, a cryptocurrency stance under the new Trump administration might involve, like, for example, rolling back the regulatory barriers that currently slow down the crypto innovation, for example, particularly the ones imposed by the SEC or the CFTC or the FinCEN or whatever it is. Like, there are tons of different agencies out there from them, but like, it could create more favorable environment for blockchain startups or digital asset exchanges or the financial institutions that deal with crypto in general. Because I think the current administration or the current stance is we want to regulate, but like, at a certain point, crypto itself was invented not to be regulated. How can we regulate something that's in there not to be regulated? So it's a weird way of thinking. In a way, as Kevin was saying, I think crypto itself, regardless whoever took it or regardless of whoever chased the dragon, it would increase the U.S. competitiveness. For example, if we take it into a Trump administration, I think he would likely embrace the cryptocurrency as a means of to maintain or enhance U.S. competitive position in the global economy, especially in other countries as China's are moving forward with their own digital currency, or they're trying to be somehow crypto friendly. I don't think so. If he reduces the regulatory constraints, the U.S. could capitalize on bargaining crypto markets, which could drive innovation, attract foreign investors, or whatever you want to think about it. at the same time, the concerns, if you want to think about it from in terms of concerns over the monetary policy control, there could be a significant concern within the Trump administration. Why? Because the Federal Reserve, Federal Reserve's ability to control the monetary policy, especially cryptocurrencies, by their decentralized nature, exists outside the traditional banking and government control. If cryptocurrency gained widespread use, the Fed's tools managing the economy as the interest rate or the money supply or whatever it is become less effective. This is because the use of crypto might diminish the demand for US dollars, making it harder for the Fed to regulate the liquidity and stabilize the economy within during downturns or peaks of inflation, which they created in the first place. So yeah, I think it will be a good area to live in and watch how things will unfold. I think it will be an experience or some sort of a good experience for other countries to learn from.
Very interesting. Thank you, Ali. For those who have joined us, don't forget to write your questions in the chat so that we can take them as we move forward. Muhammad, Sheikh Muhammad Noman, what's your take on this? Do you have anything to add on that topic, or I'll give you a new question?
Yeah, sure. You can call me Noman. Actually, Sheikh Muhammad Noman, pretty big for you, right?
Yeah.
Noman is better to be called. All right, sure. So about the U.S. policy for the Trump statement on the cryptocurrency is pretty big because mostly people, like Kelvin said, it's all thought people still going to vote for Donald Trump or anybody else. But those who are crypto users, that fintech guys, they are more active on the social media. And Trump is clicking the right direction, which I'm not a fan of Trump, to be honest. I'm just... anybody can vote to whom anybody they want to. But those who are following the social media is one of the biggest power at this time. And who are those social media users? Mostly are using the blockchain crypto stuff. So if somebody is talking about it, they would love to hear it. And when they start hearing it, they can do the influence to create the impact. Either they can break the impact or they can create the impact. So the way the Trump is building, talking about it a lot, it is creating a big hype on all across the globe, across the border, that what is happening in the states is something new policy are going to come, and there will be some flexibility in the cryptocurrency regulation from the United States so that people can utilize it, utilize the decentralized financial system. Well, it could be also one political statement, and you know, these people are politicians, so we cannot 100% rely on them, but yes, somebody's talking about it. That means a green light for the futuristic people who wants to get involved in the blockchain crypto things, and getting with the US is a big thing. Coming from the US is a big thing, I believe.
Very interesting. Thank you for your things are changing, I think, with this election. I'm not sure what's gonna happen. Ali, what do you think, or how could adoption.
I'll give you a small example. I'm originally from Pakistan, but based in UAE almost 17 years. So one of the leaders in Pakistan is in a jail, right? His name is Imran Khan. And he won the election being inside the jail because people know he's not corrupt. And how he win the election in the entire campaign only on social media. So you can imagine the power of a social media where Donald Trump is hitting the wall. It's the right direction to create the noise in the market.
Exactly. Let's see what's going to happen. Ali, I'm going to go back to you. Things are really changing, as we said. And then world politics being, I think, written today for the future. And then we're seeing what's happening in the Middle East. But how do you think adopting cryptocurrencies as a major asset could have an impact to the US dollar dominance globally?
Well, if you think about it, the US dollar's global dominance relies on its widespread use in international trade or as a reserve currency for many countries. If crypto became widely accepted as an accepted alternative, it could reduce the reliance on the dollar because crypto offers a decentralized borderless system for transactions. This shift would weaken the dollar's influence as a global economy. On the global economy as a whole, and may start up using cryptocurrency instead of relying on the dollar for trade, savings, investments, or whatever you want to call them, or whatever you want to consider it within the financial system. And I think this will diminish the central role of the global financial system as a whole. For example, as I said earlier in the first question, we've built our lives based on the fiat system of the post-70s era. So changing into something or adopting something as crypto means that we're going to adopt a lot. We're going to change a lot, the way from the banking system up to the healthcare system. And like you can think, everyone thinks that they're completely different systems and they're not connected. But no, if you think into, if you dig deeply, you're going to find that the financial system is also interconnected with the agricultural system, for example, the industrial system, the medical system, the educational system. So like it's a major change that I don't know how would people, if you think, try to think about it or try to imagine it, how would people embrace it or accept it easily? Or if that change is going to happen today or is going to start today, how many years or how many days or how many wars might it take for that to change? Hello?
Did we lose Rudy?
Rudy?
Yes, please continue. If Kevin, if you want to add anything on this, please go ahead.
Yeah, look, I have a, obviously I'm the American in the room, but it gets caught up as biased is that I'm not very confident in other currencies to currently take over the role of the US dollar. It's got problems, as do other currencies. It's got a deep, you know, it's got many faults, right? But at the same time, it's the one that's been chosen to do and transact and trade the most. And if it's going to be taken over per se, or if it's going to be really flippening, as I like to say, you know, right? If another currency is going to do that, it's got to be based off of a lot of trust. And that's ironic, right? Because the more and more you look at things in the US, it feels untrustworthy. But I would argue, do you want a world run by the Chinese yuan, one of the largest currencies, the second largest economy in the world, or the Indian rupee, which is the third largest economy in the world, or the euro, which is one of the largest, obviously, by nature, in its multiple state solution, which they've defaulting like crazy, or in any of the currencies like the yen, which for 30, 40 years has been in a very difficult situation, or do you want it in a fast growing new currency, such as the one coming up in Nigeria, Indonesia, you know, even a more stable up and coming one in the Vietnamese dong, which is very devalued, but very strong in its backing. So I would argue I went from very top to very low. But with very fast-growing GDPs, all of the names I just said are in the top 20 growing GDPs. Arguably not Nigeria, but and then you got the one of the lowest devalued, the most devalued currency in the world, quite literally, in the Vietnamese dong, but in the fastest growth rate of GDP over the last 10 years in Vietnam, in a corrupt, more communist system. And then you got the China corruption with the CCP and the unreliability and no trust in its system. So I would argue, which one would you want other? If you like the BRIC nations, two of those countries are at war. Two of those are fast up and coming with no transparency in their central banks. One of them is in South Africa, which is very unreliable due to the state of its, you know, past and very small thesis of its currency. So again, not a very popular opinion, and I'll get killed in the comment section because I'm the American and it sounds like I'm pompous. But the fact of the matter is that system still has the most trust because it has the strongest backing of system with the most treasury being purchased by multiple other of these same countries that I just mentioned. They hold most of our treasury bonds for a reason, right? We have a massive debt problem that's continuing higher and higher and higher. I don't have a solution for that. We all think we do, but we don't. But why are people still buying up the debt in hopes that one day they can take over the country or they can start a war? No, It's because of Base that we will pay our debts, right? At the end of the month, at the end of the year, we're willing to even default our own country, but we got to pay those debts and we got to pay those bills because that's based off of trust. And they know printing money, quantitative easing, is a new form of financial system. It's a systematic disease, but from the east to the west, China just started, I believe, $146 billion. So these are not small numbers. Quantitative easing is a real thing. And to say that we're going to go crypto-backed, which is why we're on this call and why everyone in this industry is fighting for the good of crypto, we're going to need massive regulatory framework from all of these countries so that you have interoperability, no interoperability issues, that it can be transacted cross-border seamlessly without any headache of this country and that country on-ramping and off-ramping. So we're a long ways away from a Bitcoin-backed currency, especially in the West. We're more close to a Bitcoin-backed economy in maybe the East or growing nations if they want to just quantum leap over the fiat system into digital currencies and quantum leap over the credit system. They may be using some type of credit system, but a lot of the countries actually we're all from on this call are not fully credit system based. They might have a SWIFT code at banking, but they're not fully using the credit system such as the West has created. And we've seen good things and bad things out of that credit system. So I would argue the Nigerias of the world, many African nations, many Southeast Asian countries can quantum leap right over into crypto or digital currencies. And if that looks like some form of CBDC or bank run stable token, stable coin, it can be any one of these. Now, we all have our opinions on those two topics, CBDCs and stable coins. But really, the only way to make a global solution work is through a global, you know, World Bank type of scenario where everybody comes to the table and makes some type of agreement slash regulation, first regulation in their own countries, and then an agreement that looks like a global solution. But that tends to get scary. That tends to get like a one world government type of World Economic Forum type of situation, 1984 type of solution. And I, you know, CBDCs get thrown around as that scary final piece to the puzzle. So we're in a sticky middle ground right now. How much regulation do you want and how big do you want the industry to get? If you want a Bitcoin-backed or a crypto-backed economy, it's going to look also very scary. Everybody was so excited when that ETF came out from BlackRock and the 11 other banks and institutions. No one thought that we killed decentralization and in its pure form almost forever. There's no going back from that. It's one of the most successful BlackRock products of all time. They're printing money over there. And yet the government is continuing to print money, give it out to these, you know, I'm just talking as an American, to the wars and all the bad stuff going on around the world. And yet our economy and inflation has never been worse and higher. So if we want to bring it back to politics, I don't think one party is doing very well to communicate the future of currency, proper economy, and how entrepreneurs, which used to run the country, are no longer at hold. I would argue, look at your countries and say, which one do you want? Because Vietnam, when I was there for the last 2 months, they're laughing at us. They're like, do you know that we were in that system? You forget, like, we were in that system in communism, right? Like, we're still in it, but we're the fastest growing GDP. Like, you get like where you're headed, right? And they're laughing at us saying, you clearly don't know.
It's really interesting, Kevin. I'm going to jump to, sorry for that. Norman, please go ahead. What's your take on this?
Well, as Kelvin said pretty well, that it's not going to happen in a day or two. It's going to take time, at least 2 or 3 decades to be acceptable parallel system against the dollars, because the world is right now, all the trades are happening on the US dollar. So although the US economy is the most debt economy in the world, they've got trillions of dollars of debts on their economy. As you said, the inflation rate is damn high in the States, and people are running away from States to the Middle East. Not only Kelvin, there are a lot of my friends they're moving down from the States to the UAE and Saudi Arabia. The reason is because of the security, less inflation, and the more stability and the more more income, opportunities for the people to accepting the cryptocurrency parallel to the US dollar. It's not going to happen sooner, but for sure it has to happen because there's a trillions of dollars of debt behind the US dollar backed by the BlackRock. So it's not going to happen in a few days, but it will take through 20 to 30 years to get it adopted to have some parallel currency than US dollar. Maybe Ethereum can be one of them because it's going is backed by one of the, I believe, semi-government company, you know, the Ethereum in Abu Dhabi. But it could be the next one because they're going to have a $2.8 trillion asset by 2028. It's a big number. So far, IHC has been achieving all their targets, whatever their roadmaps is, IHC, and the Phoenix come, I believe, under the IHC, and they're going to achieve all of the targets coming on the way. Therefore, the leadership in UAE, one leadership in the States, America, Musk, and all these, so they're doing a lot of economical and political activities to boost the region, to make it capital of capitals.
Yeah. Thank you, Norman. It's really interesting. I'm going to jump a little bit to NFTs. We have a question which aligns to my question. I'm going to ask the question and then go to my question because they are more or less the same, but in a structured way. Will Trump win election, would that mean Bitcoin is also up or it's beyond Bitcoin currencies? It's about DeFi and new innovation. That said, I'm going to go, you know, Trump's NFT ventures have garnered significant attention in a few, let's say, year or two. How do you think this involvement of the NFTs and other, you know, new innovation that's happening could really influence broader adoption of those digital assets, both US and global? Because it's no longer about the US. I think it's going to be a global thing. How will he or the advocation today for more regulatory oversight on crypto, will that be affected also? Ali or Kevin?
To be honest, if you think the markets, the way they operate right now, or the whole global market in a way, including Bitcoin or crypto or any other asset, they tend to react based on the anticipation. So as the saying goes, buy the rumor, sell the news. If you look into the historical context of what happened in the price, whether it was specifically into Bitcoin, whether it was the ETF or the launch of the futures or whatever it is, you can see that the price moved prior to the event happening, which is what I can think that the prices right now are in a stable position or in a volatile position that they are anticipating what's going to happen. And the more close we become, or we come to the elections, the anticipation will become much more higher and the difference between what's expected and what's going to happen will become different. So this is going to trigger a lot of volatility in the market, and this is going to trigger a lot of weird price action, could be positive or negative at the same time. Which means that after the elections, let's supposedly that Trump was the president, or I'd say like focus on the Trump because it will give us the conjugate of what's not gonna happen. So proof by conjugation, proof by negation. If Trump became the president and he went further with the deregularization and he tried to achieve something into the crypto market, I would see we are into two distinct roads. Either a big massive financial crisis, which can happen within the first couple of weeks to months of Trump's election, or in a huge bull market that's going to take over. So there's no middle ground in here. There's no middle ground as something slow or stable or stability in prices. Because, as I said earlier, we're basically depending on the anticipation. The market movements previously, or the Fed's interest rate decisions that are happening or dampening the interest rates right now, are all favoring a single question or are favoring a single outcome, which is a financial crash, at least in the traditional asset space. Now, I don't know if this is going to spill over into the crypto markets, yes or no, which is more likely is going to happen. but it's an answer of two open-ended questions, or it's an answer for two open-ended questions, whether it's, we're going to be in a huge bull market or it's going to be a full financial crisis just after the elections.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're going to be seeing a lot of changes.
Did we lose Rudy? I think we lost Rudy, boys.
Kevin, what's your take on this?
I'll just pick it up. Look, you said the word NFTs, you said DeFi. These are, don't look at NFTs as a, you know, for anybody on the call, I'm sure we're all knowing exactly what NFTs are, but it's that third word in NFTs, tokenization, that is the most important part of all of this. That's what requires the regulatory framework. That's what requires the most guidelines and guidance in order for it to work in its full thesis. If you want to look at this new buzzword in RWA's real world asset, it's tokenization of, right? And the only one really in a large form that's doing it is, again, BlackRock and their Buildle type of model. And that's not the answer, but at least they're the ones at play here. And if you're looking at tokenization and tokenized assets, tokenized products, it's a highly sophisticated product. It is a securities in the West, and DeFi entering and anything like the exciting work that's happening in Bitcoin DeFi is extremely exciting. It's innovative. It's something we've all been waiting for, but it's still a securities, right? So this framework required in order to grow is also sensitive to the traditional financial markets. Traditional financial markets are still, again, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They're doing very well for themselves. This is a threat to their entire ecosystem. Decentralized finance, DeFi, a bank, very soon, by the end of this administration, my prediction is it'll look like a CDeFi. They will offer solutions similar to what DeFi offers us today, with a actual good UI and UX, because right now there's very terrible user experience in DeFi, and really I would argue all of crypto. You gotta look at exchanges doing the best work in UX, which is akin to something like Robinhood in America, because it's speaking the language of the next generation. And then if you wanna look at something like payments and remittance, the UX is still better than something like DeFi, but it resembles something that maybe the younger generation and millennials, Gen Z and Alpha, that will be very comfortable with, in a gamified money transfer, payment, trading, whatever system. DeFi will be offered, like I said, in some type of centralized CDeFi, whatever way, to the boomer generation, which still owns 90% of the purchasing power around the world. They're still the ones that own the power and the purchasing power, and they're making the most decisions, yet they're not at play in the digital asset markets, right? They're still not at play, even at 1%, in that digital currency realm. So what's it gonna look like for a bank to offer what something like the ETF was offered through BlackRock? That's more of a tradable institutional play. But at the CDeFi level, it'll look like something where JP Morgan or bank of whatever around the world will offer a 5%+ was the only thing that it'll take in Western markets to the baby boomer generation, that will allow them to invest in new products, which will look like its current form in DeFi, but with a wrap of a very strong regulatory framework offered by a trusted institutional play, a bank backed by the central bank, in a very centralized manner, but been able to take away market share from decentralized financial markets. Because right now it's the super wild, wild west in DeFi. And just as it starts to take off, just as something good is built on DeFi, we get a massive hack. We get a massive chink in the chain, as we say. And just last month, Curve Finance. Then a few years ago, Euler Protocol. And so all of these in 200 million, 150 million, 500 plus million, these are not stability. These do not constitute stability. These are not a good market for baby boomers specifically to move their money into from traditional trusted banking systems, which, again, I use that very loosely, trusted banking systems. But yes, they are trusted banking backed by again, loosely, DIFC insurance in America and the central banks of these countries, but that's all they've known, and that's where they put their trust in. How is something like DeFi going to come in and take away market share from the banking system? It's going to look like a wrap of full guidelines, full regulatory framework, and it's going to look like from the banking that won't have any clunky UX. It'll be a click of a button. Same way my mother goes to her online banking and transfers money. She doesn't know she's going to interact with blockchain. She's not going to know she's interacting with a new system. It'll look like a very gamified model that she can just click and drag and drop now 10%, 15%+. Now, I don't agree that in the West, it'll look like 5% to 10%. That's enough to move the chain, because we have certificate of deposits that are still doing 5% as easy money flow has gone outside. So that's what I presume it to happen. But it's going to take a lot of congressional, you know, Senate leadership to come bipartisan to come together and pass something. And I don't really care who becomes president at this point, because it just matters in our country about the Congress and the Senate. If one is one way and the other is one way and the president is up here, it really doesn't matter. Now, if you get it all three across the board, that's when you have to be worried that one party is going to fully move their policies. So I'm not really worried, because it looks like one is going to be Democratic, one is going to be Republican, and we'll see what happens with the presidential race. But again, I'll argue, this may not be a popular opinion, but at least one of the presidential candidates is talking about it, whether you like him or not. He's having the conversations, he's talking about it, he's promoting it actively, and the whole thesis of our industry works on a lot of marketing and a lot of adoption. Without that, what good are we?
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. I really see that the chat is a little bit on fire. Kiarach is working on solving such problems as we move along. Leon also, trusted banks have a huge amount of frauds and corruption, and he mentioned few banks. So it's not anymore about the banking. I don't think the discussion anymore, well, at least for us, is about the banks. It's about, you know, going for the next best thing. It's I believe somehow with what Bill Gates said, we don't need banks, we need banking. And this is the banking solutions that we are today offering, you know, transparency, decentralization, and so many other things. I think we live in a beautiful age of a huge transformation, as we call it. I still have 5 minutes. I'm going to ask three questions, but I want your answers in a short stale. Norman, I'll start with you. Do you think international, do you foresee any legal battles or significant pushback from financial institutions since the cryptocurrency might become a dominant or a reserve currency?
As you know, Binance, Venom, M2, a lot of companies, blockchain companies, being licensed in the UAE. RDGM, DIFC, all these places. And many other cryptocurrency license holders, they are struggling to open a bank account. Reason, banks are still not friendly. They do not have a green light from the Central Bank of UAE to accept them, unless you've got a big resources to provide the proof of funds. So to get into these kind of platforms, to get it accepted in as a crypto dominant company into the fiat with the banks, is very hard, because they both are banks. See, I'm at Amex Investment Banker. So banks see the crypto industry is a competent market, their competition. So to get it accepted, meaning they are going to define their position that we are getting back, like a Nokia, an iPhone and something is going up. So they don't want to get into it. Soonest the regulations come up. I hear there is something going on in Central Bank. They are prepared and procedure SOPs of the cryptocurrency acceptance in the UAE market, but it's not officially yet, so we can't really comment on it. But the banks in a different part of the world, they know the real money is coming in the digital assets now. So they have to accept it in terms of digital asset and not a digital currency, they would be more okay with that, because as per Bern Convention 2004 in Geneva, all the digital based companies, so e-commerce, so e-business, e-transaction, everything falls in the category of IP, intellectual property. It could be digital assets, NFT, as you asked before, and it could be anything else. Because if any company is promoting themselves, launching themselves, and introducing themselves as a digital asset-based company, the banks are okay with this, not a problem. The moment the crypto comes up, it's a red alert. They don't want to get into the crypto. But this, it's not going to happen soon again, since the leaderships start getting accepted in the central banks, because banks are still obliged to report to the World Bank, the IMF, all these guys, because they are controlled by some other guy, and they don't want to get it accepted right now, because first they want to make their own money. They want to structure themselves first in the digital industry, like BlackRock is doing tremendous job, heavily investing in digital assets, because they want to have a major part of the digital assets. And then they make it regulations for the new people like us.
Yeah. Kevin, what do you think the role you're going to see in global regulators like the United Nations, IMF, the EU, all of those, you know, World Bank and other that are really playing and trying to create that momentum, let's call it. How are those nations balancing sovereignty and global economics, integrating through their digital currencies? Are they going to be pushing more forward, or are they going to be fighting this whole new system? You know, maybe they will not be in control anymore. I'm not sure what their worries, but I still have 2 minutes. And then last question to Ali, or last comment from Ali. We have a couple of questions and then we'll move on.
Yeah, I think they're asleep at the wheel. Every bank is asleep at the wheel. Like the names you mentioned, IMF, the World Bank, the EU, all of the United Nations, they're playing catch up. They're scared as hell, because the new generation is not using traditional forms of investment. Even there's more gambling money happening than investing in stocks around the world. There's more cryptocurrency usage than now digital, you know, again, the lower ages. So they're extremely afraid. They don't know what to do. And the only thing they can do is continue to do what they've always done, is to damage it, hurt it, until they can take it and own it. And it is what it is. But they're asleep at the wheel. Most 90% of banks, institutions, financial companies are run by 70-plus-year-old octogenarians that have no idea about anything of crypto. They can't even spell it. They've never written in the right white paper that Satoshi wrote. They don't understand it because it doesn't speak their traditional models. This is a very unpopular opinion in Wall Street and a very popular opinion in this part of the world. And so they can choose to continue falling asleep at the wheel, and they're going to lose market share until they can just tax it, hurt it, shut it down. The things that they've only known for the tactics for the past hundreds of years.
Yeah, thanks. Ali, what's your last comment on this?
Well, to be honest, in general, we are ahead of a great change that's incoming. We are in a transitionary period. For me personally, to be honest, like, if you think about the banks themselves, or the way that those banks are operating, in a way or another, as we're seeing in the comments, they are more of a fraudulent banking. I wouldn't say that most of them, but I'd say if you're not doing that, it's not the main business of what you're doing. You can see tons of banks, tons of SEC fines, tons of regulations being imposed on specific banks or whatever bank it is. But like, if you look about what the cause of the sanction or the cause of that fine, you're going to see that like they're paying what they can consider as cost of doing business. They paid, like, let's say a couple of $1 million, while at the same time they laundered a couple of $1 billion. So it's just like a cost of doing business. They pay the fine and they will be fine. Move forward. Now, when they say cryptocurrency will be used to launder money, to pay for drugs, to pay for payment for, I don't know, for all types of other illegal activities. Now, currently, what are they using? That's the problem. If they're using Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies to pay for that kind of illegal activities, now, for the past 100 years, what were they using? What were they using? They were using charts, or they were using papers. for the past 100 years, they've been using the fiat currencies. So it doesn't make sense to say that, oh, Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies are going to be used to illicit activities. Oh, yeah, well, we've been doing that for the past 100 years with the fiat paper money.
And Ali, they couldn't even get that right. Right, they couldn't even get that right. And in 2008, when the whole world was ending due to the financial crisis, we learned how invaluable the system was and how de-risk, you know, they thought they were de-risk and how risk on they were. And the largest institutions, Lehman Brothers of 100 and plus 20 years, was the first to fall. Right. Yeah, so I would argue that it's all like, worth the
funniest part that we're hearing from the liberal side of the world. That cryptocurrency uses a lot of energy. It's not green. It should be like green energy. You know what the state the sense on the topic. But yeah, but did you forget the electricity being used for the banking system? Those 73 million ATMs, they work on a kinetic energy, or what kind of free energy are they running on? The central bank, the headquarters, the banks, the employees, the banking system as a whole. How those hundreds of different banks or those thousands of different banks are operating. With their data centers, with the issues that those banks caused, from the financial crisis to the famine to the whatever stance we're looking at, but like they caused a lot of problems. That we're looking at something tiny as the green energy, but they're consuming more.
The machine goes burr, as we say.
Goes burr.
Thank you, guys. Really amazing discussion. There's a lot of comments. I advise you, I'll send you later on, maybe if you can answer them online, that will be amazing. Thank you everyone for joining. What can we say? This is how it is. Amazing topic, interesting discussion. Thank you all for joining me, and then we'll see you definitely soon. Don't forget ABC Conclave 10-11 in Dubai. Join us, and then the following one will be in Bangkok. So 12 more days, don't forget. We look forward to having you back on the next talk show. We'll be soon announcing what it is. Stay tuned for more engaging discussions and insightful conversation. And take care and see you next time. This is your host, Rudy, signing off. Have a good one.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
Take care, buddy.
Take care, everyone. See you.
Bye-bye.
It's not letting us go.
He's not kicking us out.
They're from saying they're not letting us go.
Okay, continue. Continue the conversation. I'm glad we weren't asked who we're voting for.
Yes, yeah. All right, I think it's good. I got it.